preparing for the showdown in Philadelphia. ABC's Rachel Scott will be there and says the rules are strict.
The 90-minute debate will include two breaks. No opening statements, no audience in the room, no pre-written notes or huddling with staff during commercial breaks. Microphones will be muted when it's not the candidate's turn to speak. And Trump, who won the coin toss, will have the final word.
Pope Francis has now met the president of Timor-Leste on his Southeast Asia tour. As it continues, he will celebrate Mass tomorrow. Up to 750,000 people, half the country, could show up. This is day three of the search for a suspected sniper who opened fire on cars along I-75, a stretch of highway in southeast Kentucky. Five people were injured. Texas Governor Greg Abbott activating state emergency resources along the Gulf Coast in advance of possible heavy rain, high winds, and storm surge due to the next storm of the 2024 Atlantic hurricane season. This is ABC News.
From the SSM Health News Center, this is Max News with Jim Finn.
The Sauk County Land Resources and Environment Department will hold a free agricultural plastics recycling drop-off event from 10 a.m. until noon on Wednesday, September 18th. It happens at the Sauk County Highway Shop, 620 Lynn Street in West Baraboo. Plastic baler twine will not be accepted, but can be used to tie loose plastic into bundles. Bale wrap or net wrap and mesh and loose plastics are not accepted and should be landfilled. Accepted plastics must be as clean and dry as possible. Again, the drop-off takes place Wednesday, September 18th at the Sauk County Highway Shop from 10 a.m. until noon. For Max FM News, I'm Jim Finn.
Max FM, Jim City Weather.
Partly cloudy today with a high of 83 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the west at around 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 54. Tomorrow, sunshine 83. And then warmer sunshine Wednesday with a high near 88. If you love weather, check out severestudios.com. You'll find live radar, weather stories, and live storm chasers at severestudios.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
99.7.
We hope that your Monday is going well so far. Thank you so much for joining us today. We always appreciate it. Now, we were talking about those birthdays, and remember we mentioned Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics celebrating his 72nd birthday. We would be totally remiss if we didn't pull out some of Eurythmics. Plus, they're one of my favorite duos of all time. Would I Lie to You Now on 99.7 Max FM.
90s, and more. Max FM.
Van Halen, there is right now. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. 10 minutes after 8 on this Monday morning. And Finn, we've got to talk cute little puppies and kitties this morning. And when I say puppies and kitties, I mean literally puppies and kitties. Our pets of the week are just babies over at the Sauk County Humane Society. And look at how sweet they are. Oh, my goodness.
Our doggy looks so happy.
Oh, my gosh. And the kitty is just a beauty. and so inquisitive looking. All right. So I could sit here and gush all over these two little friends all morning, but let's just jump in here. All right. So we're going to start with, I don't know exactly how to pronounce our puppy's name. Is it Haim or Haimy? I'm not Haimy. Really sure. Yeah. Let's go Haimy because there's an E on the end. At any rate, he is our adorable little puppy of the week over at the Sauk County Humane Society. And he is only 4 months old, and he is a mixed breed fellow who is brought into the shelter as a stray with his three litter mates. He is a very handsome brindle color, absolutely gorgeous little dude he is. Now, Haimy is your typical playful puppy. He has lots of energies, and so be ready for that if you're looking for a puppy. He's learning to walk on a leash, and he's going to need a little bit more work in that area. Well, trust me, Haimy, it's okay.
Takes a little while. Yeah.
Aspen's 3 years old, and we still have leash work to do, and we've even done puppy training.
Yeah.
He's going to require a family, though, dedicated to all things training. Again, 4 months old, so you start working with him at a really young age, though, and you're going to see improvements pretty quick. Now, he is not house trained, so you have to have some patience with Haimy as well. He could share his home with another dog, a cat, while you train him, or maybe the cat will actually do the training, who knows? And he could also share his home with some kiddos. Now, if you have very small kids in the house, though, you want to make sure that you keep in mind that Haimy can be a little jumpy, he pulls on clothes, and he's probably going to like to chew on toys. Again, 4 months old. This is what babies do, right? Haimy has a more dominant personality, and he will need to be neutered, microchipped, and up to date on age-appropriate vaccines before he goes home. A little work, though, into him, and he's going to be such an awesome dude. Oh, my gosh, the tongue and all of that, the big floppy ears.
He's ready. He's
just adorable. So check him out if you're looking to add a puppy. And again, remember, they require a little bit more patience and a whole lot more work because you're trying to get them ready to be good puppy citizens is what we always like to say in our house. Now, our cat of the week is also just a baby, and this is Proton. And Proton, according to the Humane Society, is the last group of scientific kittens to find her forever home. She is 4 months old. She is a beautiful black domestic short hair girl with a very inquisitive personality, and even her photo makes her look like she's a very inquisitive girl, doesn't she? She's got these beautiful like yellowish green eyes, all black otherwise, and just amazing. She's always on the go. Proton loves to play with toys, climb scratchers, and just be an all-around kitten. She does have a lot of antics that are going to keep you completely entertained, and she will be spayed, microchipped, and up to date on age-appropriate vaccines before she goes home as well. So check out Proton if you're looking to add a little kitten friend to the house, but just a doll. She's absolutely sweet. She's so like her, she's pure black everywhere except for her eyes, even the inside of her ears, and even her teeny tiny little nose is all black. So she's just absolutely a doll. So check those, check both of them out if you're looking to add a baby to the house.
I love that name too, Proton.
I know.
It's like she's a superhero.
Right? And she kind of fits it too, just by the look of her, right? Yeah, she's very, obviously very inquisitive. And when you see photos of Proton by going to the website, sockhumane.org, you're going to see that she is a very inquisitive girl, and it comes across just like that in her photos. She's very photogenic, and so is Haimy, by the way. He's also very photogenic. Now, of course, they've had lots of litters of puppies and kittens over at the Sauk County Humane Society as of late, and this is when, again, they want to remind everyone of the importance of spaying and neutering your pets. Kittens and puppies are cute, but they should not have to be brought up in a shelter atmosphere. There's a lot of unwanted pets that are abandoned and dumped alongside the road every single day, and some suffer hunger, attacks by predators, injuries, illness, and even death. All of the homeless pets are spayed and neutered prior to adoption over at the Sauk County Humane Society. Spayed and neutered pets live a happier, healthier, and longer life. They do offer that low-cost spay and neuter clinic for cats on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and more information for that can be found over at the website. I'll give you that address one more time. It's under the Resources tab, though, when you go over to the website. Now, they do need a few things over at the Humane Society right now as far as donations go. Canned dog food, canned adult adult cat food, bleach, laundry detergent, and fabric softener sheets. As you can imagine, a couple of the main things they're probably going through a lot right now with this many pets and critters under their care, food, and then all of the stuff to clean up after all of these said amazing pets that are looking for really great homes. Now, you can go to Amazon and donate through the wish list they have set up over there, or even Chewy.com if you don't want to do the shopping yourself and you want things delivered to their door because you really do want to help. SawCumane.org, that is the website you need to go to see pictures of Hamy, to see pictures of Proton, to get more information on that spay-neuter clinic, to find out what they need on their wish list. Again, SawCumane.org. I promise, once you go over there, though, you're going to waste an entire Monday looking at all the faces. I'm just saying, just be prepared for it, people.
It's overwhelming how many cute little faces there are out there.
Yeah. And let's be honest, there are worse ways you could spend a Monday. I mean, you could sit there and check your email or whatever. Fine, sure. Yeah. If you're a good employee, you can do that. The rest of us, though, we're going to be looking at cute faces on the Sauk Humane's website page. All right. So, you know, we've got Chris Havel, our Packers expert, joining us here in just a little under 15 minutes or so as we talk about that game Friday night in Brazil. But before we get to that, I did want to talk about NFL game food, because this is an important thing when you go to any sort of stadium, getting the game food, whether it's an NFL game. Well, of course, we know baseball is still underway, so really most stadiums are going to have some incredible food. But specifically, if you're going to go to a football game, you're probably not going to get the better beer deal. Let's just be honest about it, right? That being said, God forbid you buy a $250 ticket, then sit there and watch a game sober, especially if you were watching it Friday night. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Now, according to a website called sportscasting.com, NFL fans will have to pay about $15.02 for a beer and hot dog at stadiums this season. That's the average. But not all prices are the same across the board. Now, here are the stadiums where a brew and a dog is going to cost you the most. If you are a Seattle Seahawks fan and you plan on going to the Link, it's going to cost you about $20 for a beer and a hot dog. Both the LA Rams and the LA Chargers, since they share a stadium, that's going to be about $19.50. And the Chicago Bears, right? The Chicago Bears, New Orleans Saints, and Jacksonville Jaguars are basically all at $19. So if you're a Bears fan or you're a Packers fan who plans on traveling to Soldier Field later this year for that game between the Bears and the Packers, well, then just be prepared to shell out a little bit of money for the food.
Almost $20 for a beer and a hot dog. There you
go. Well, they got to pay for the new facility they want somehow. Yeah, let's just be honest about it. New Orleans has the most expensive beers at about $12, while the priciest hot dogs are in Seattle and LA at about $8.50 per hot dog. The stadiums where a beer and a hot dog is going to cost you the least, you want to be a Falcons fan, because they made it a staple a long time ago that they weren't going to overcharge for the food. So they only charge you $7.50 for a beer and a hot dog.
There you go.
Exactly. That's the cheapest. $2 each for both of those. And get this, 22 teams charge more for a beer than what the Falcons charge for both, which is actually kind of crazy. The Miami Dolphins, if you plan on going to a game in Miami, they're going to charge you about $10 for a beer and a hot dog. And the Houston Texans, Baltimore Ravens, and Detroit Lions all come in at just under $12 for both, which again, for Lions fans in the area or, you know, Packers fans traveling to Ford Field, maybe at some point this season, these are important things for you to understand. How much cash you're going to have in your, you know, your count or in your pocket in order to get yourself a hot dog and a beer. Now, only four teams charge $5.49 for a beer. That's the Jets, the Lions, the Miami Dolphins, and the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I did a little work here on our end. Now, we've already told you what the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions charge. If you're a Packers fan, go into a game this year at Lambeau, about $16.49. So about $16.50 is what you're going to pay. We're basically middle of the pack when it comes to as far as pricing goes. So not horrible. And let's face it, have you ever had the food at Lambeau? It's really good. If you're doing a hot dog and a beer, I feel like you're not doing the whole experience justice, especially since you can get brats at the ready at Lambeau. I mean, that's not something you can get at every other stadium. So just, I mean, got to plan accordingly here. Now, if you're going to go to a Vikings game or go watch the Packers play the Vikings at US Bank later this year, or as the locals like to call it there in Minneapolis, the ship. They're going to charge you about $18.25 for you to get yourself a delicious hot dog and beer. Again, got to pay for that facility somehow, because you wouldn't believe how much
it's not paying for itself, right?
Well, the citizens are not very happy, because I'm as a former resident, everybody was told that the taxes in that vicinity were not going to go up on your own property, just so they could get the ship built. Guess what happened? So the more they charge for hot dogs and you know, beer, the happier the citizens are. I don't know. It's funny how that works. I have no idea, but that's a true story about the taxes. I have no idea if that's why they overcharge for the beer.
So
the
did you
dog.
Hear a lot of complaints or a lot of people complaining about the fact that the game on Friday night was streaming only on Peacock?
I really didn't, because I think there was a lot of different facilities around here, mainly the bars, let's be honest, that put together really great watch parties. So if you didn't have Peacock, I mean, you could go somewhere and watch it. And I mean, you know, to get Peacock for a month, you're only going to pay right around $7-$10, something like that. So I know that we had friends who didn't have Peacock, but they bought it for the month because of the low price and the fact that they could stay home, relax, and watch the game that way. So I didn't hear a lot of people complaining, but my group was pretty select, and I was kind of out of it on Friday. I didn't feel very good yet on Friday. I was kind of not fielding calls for most of the day. So I didn't hear a lot of complaints, but I get it was probably a hassle for a lot of people. Unfortunately, I think that's just the trajectory of the NFL. If you look at the way the schedule is set up, there are a lot of games that are only on this streaming service. There is a lot of games that are only going to be on this streaming service. It's divided equally, and all of these different streaming services now have big contracts along with the networks. And, you know, like yesterday, if you were watching any of the games on CBS, but you don't have over the air antenna, or you don't have cable, you could catch all of those games on Paramount Plus if they were airing on CBS. So I think that's just kind of, unfortunately, the nature of the beast. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, all of these big streaming deals are how all of these teams are affording some of these astronomical player price tags now too, because their cap levels were bumped so high because of all of these TV deals that now they're able to pay even more money to the players than they were before. So I think it's just kind of the nature of the NFL beast. And as we've reminded you before here, right here on this station, and I think I did so on Friday, the NFL is technically an entertainment league. So that's how they're registered. So if they can entertain and charge and find a way to get more money for themselves, they're probably going to do it.
True.
I mean, we'll be honest once again and just say, I mean, if they were really for anything other than profit, that game would not have been played in Brazil on Friday night. Not with the field conditions, not with the wildfire smoke, not with the security that the NFL had to put the players and the teams under. I mean, these are just things that, you know, I think as average people who maybe watch football or enjoy a Packers game here or there probably understand. It is the nature of the beast, unfortunately.
Comes down to the money once again.
Always does.
About the money.
Always. But, you know, you've got Dak Prescott now making like $230 million. So, okay.
There you go.
And Packers fans, we can't say much. Jordan Love signed a contract just a little below his just a few weeks ago. So we can't say too much about the astronomical price tags on some players right now. But, yeah, I don't know. It's the NFL. I mean, Roger Goodell was at the game. He was watching the players slip-sliding around, and he was asked about it afterwards. He's like, I think it went great. Yep, you tell that to the players who now have twisted ankles and everything else, but you enjoyed your seat, so that's all that matters. Oh, we love how some of these multi-billion dollar corporations work, right? It's just how it is. But unfortunately, I think for some people, you're either going to have to get on the streaming bandwagon if you're a major football fan, or you're going to have to just vicariously live through social media updates. I mean, even to get some of those NFL packages for like Red Zone, where you get to see all of the games. I mean, I had no idea until last year how expensive those packages were. They are crazy expensive for just a few months. I mean, we're talking hundreds of dollars for it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the one thing you can give the NFL, though, Finn, that some of us will never be able to say is they've certainly learned how to capitalize and get the most of what they've got, haven't they?
Well, definitely. Yeah. But as Wisconsinites, you know, you feel that personal ownership of the Packers. So you feel like you should be able to see a game no matter what.
Right. I mean, and what's it say about us? Because we keep paying all of this stuff.
Exactly.
Like, we keep doing it. So it says a lot about us, too. It's going to continue that way. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Taking a look at our forecast right now. Partly cloudy today. 83 for a high. Not as cool as this weekend, but still a pretty nice day. Clear down to 54 tonight. Sunny 83 tomorrow. Sunny and warmer by Wednesday with a high near 88. Right now, it is 57.
Ever heard of Joan Ballweg? She's your state senator. And she's got one of the worst records on women in the entire state Senate. But don't take our word for it. Listen to women who live in her district.
Joan Ballweg wants to ban abortion, even in cases of rape, incest, and when the mother's life is at risk.
And would jail doctors who perform them.
Ballweg voted to ban birth control, too, and to deny rape victims emergency contraception.
Banning all abortion. Banning birth control. Ballweg even wrote a law that would force doctors to perform C-sections on women who need an abortion. Some decisions should only be between a woman and her doctor. But Joan Ballweg thinks politicians like her should make them for you.
No one wants to tell you what to do with your body more than Joan Ballweg.
But she can't tell you what to do with your vote.
There's a better choice. Vote Sarah Kieski for State Senate. Paid for by Kieski for Wisconsin.
Oakwood Fruit Farm is open. Stop by for the area's best new crop apples, Honey Crisp, Gala, and Macintosh. Also, the bakery is open with fresh apple cider donuts, homemade caramel apples, take-and-bake pies, turnovers. The fall mums are in. Discount Tuesdays are back with 10% off all apple purchases. Oakwood Fruit Farm, south of Ithaca, on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs and like them on Facebook.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for...
As a dairy farmer from Lodi, I know that Joan Ballweg delivers for Wisconsin farmers. Because when our farm faced tough times, Joan stepped up to fight for us. Working to lower taxes, improve rural roads, and secure support for farm programs, Joan Ballweg puts farmers first. So when it comes to protecting my farm and my cows, I trust Joan Ballweg. She's always stood with us, now let's stand with her. Vote Joan Ballweg for State Senate. Paid for by Volunteers for Agriculture, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee.
Maximum hits. Max FM.
8:28 right now with George Michael.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. But I gotta think twice. Oh,
'cause I gotta have faith. Ooh, I gotta have faith. But does it really have
maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more, 99.7 Max FM. It's 8:31 right now. And Finn, we're getting ready for Chris Hovel to join us here in just a couple of minutes, brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm. But before Chris jumps in here, and before we take a look at weather and sports really quickly, we've got to talk about our calendar days, all of those things we can celebrate as we, you know, try to go through another work week. So today is Care Bear Share Your Care Day. Now, this was actually a holiday started by American Greetings, and it was introduced in the early 1980s on greeting cards, all part of the animated show, as well as the stuffed animals. Obviously, the bears over the years have inspired children to share their feelings and also care for others. So this is a day really dedicated to love, caring, and sharing with other people, not just for the kiddos, but, you know, we can learn a lesson or two as adults from the Care Bears as well. I loved the Care Bears. And then they puff out their tummies and they'd say, Care Bear Stare. And it was just the best thing ever. And then rainbows and hearts and clouds and all of these things would sparkle into the universe. And oh, so good. Such good stuff.
They were pretty positive, weren't they? Those Care Bears.
They were awesome. They were awesome. We could all learn a thing or two from the Care Bears. Today is also I'm on top of it day. No, you're not. It's Monday, but we'll try really hard. It's fine. It is also, let's see, International Sudoku Day. Oh, nothing says fun and exciting like figuring out word puzzles on a Monday. Now, I call that any day of the week because I love that kind of stuff, but I know that's not for everybody. And I stink at word puzzles. I really do. I love words, but I really stink at figuring them out.
So you don't do crosswords then?
No, not very often. No. Ring of words, crosswords. Nope. Oh, those are not really Wordle things I do. Not very often. I have to be really, really bored if I'm going to try it. It's also National Teddy Bear Day. Speaking of Care Bear Stare, love our teddy bears. They're just the best. It is also Wonderful Weirdos Day today. Well, I call that every single day. It's how I've gone through life. It's done me
right
well
there
so
with
far.
You.
Exactly. National I Love Food Day is today. It doesn't matter what food you love. You just go enjoy whatever is your favorite because I Love Food Day. It's also National Wiener Schnitzel Day, which is an oddly specific day. But, you know, I feel like with some of our heritage here in the great state of Wisconsin, we can get down with some Wiener Schnitzel. It's almost Oktoberfest season as well. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is appropriate. And then I don't know why, but it's International Buy a Priest a Beer Day. Is this something we do regularly? Rumor has it that the first man to take out his priest for a beer was St. Hopswald of Aliard. Now, this may be, you know, just a rumor. It may be an old wives' tale, but International Buy a Priest a Beer Day certainly is not one of those things. It's actually a day when people who celebrate the Catholic religion build relationships with their priests by taking them out for heck a beer or maybe just, you know, some water or, you know, their favorite beverage of any sort. So there you go. That's why we celebrate International Buy a Priest a Beer Day. I feel like, you know, one of those after school specials, The More You Know, that NBC used to air.
Exactly.
We just learned something here today. This is what we try to do. We try to entertain and educate all at the same time. Yeah. I don't think I probably do both very well, but I try really
you give
hard.
A shot.
So I have that going for me. Now I know how teachers feel every single day. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, is going to join us in just moments here as we talk about that game on Friday night from Brazil. So get ready for Hanging with Hovel. Look at sports as well as a detailed look at your forecast coming up next here on Max FM.
At SSM Health, our comprehensive orthopedic team is here to help. We understand life keeps moving, and you should too. From diagnosis to rehabilitation, our expert staff will listen to your concerns, answer questions, and partner with you to set goals toward your individual treatment. It's time to get moving again, pain-free. Visit ssmhealth.com/keepmoving and request an appointment with one of our orthopedic specialists today.
Beloved AT&T customers, I'm here to tell you about our brand new offering, Next Up Anytime. That's right, anytime. No more waiting 3 years to get a new phone. When you want to upgrade, you can. It's really that simple. Paired with 25% off for all first responders, teachers, military veterans, and more, there has never been an easier choice than switching to AT&T. Stop by any of our AT&T Bug Tussle stores for more great deals and savings.
The Packers are expected to be without quarterback Jordan Love for a few weeks after he suffered an MCL sprain during the final minute of Friday's 34-29 loss to the Eagles. I'm Bill Scott with sports. Matt LaFleur scheduled to meet with reporters this afternoon. Week one of the season wraps up tonight in Santa Clara when the San Francisco 49ers face the visiting New York Jets. NFC North yesterday, Minnesota beat the Giants 28-6, Chicago down Tennessee 24-17, and the Lions over the Rams in overtime 26-20 last night. Badgers improved to 2-0 with a 27-13 victory over South Dakota Saturday. The Badgers will square off against fourth-ranked Alabama this Saturday at Camp Randall. The Brewers went hitless in their final 23 at-bats and fell to the Rockies 4-1 on Sunday. Milwaukee 2-4 on the homestand. They've dropped four of their last five. Midwest League Quad Cities beat Beloit 7-1. Wisconsin over Cedar Rapids 10-3. Bill Scott, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Partly cloudy today with a high of 83 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the west at around 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 54. Tomorrow, sunshine 83. And then warmer sunshine Wednesday with a high near 88. If you love weather, check out severestudios.com. You'll find live radar, weather stories, and live storm chasers at severestudios.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 59. 99.7.
It's 8:37 right now. Time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, will join us in just a moment to talk Packers and Eagles from Friday Night Football. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM, brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm.
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
Oakwood Fruit Farm is open. Stop by for the area's best new crop apples, Honey Crisp, Gala, and Macintosh. Also, the bakery is open with fresh apple cider donuts, homemade caramel apples, take-and-bake pies, turnovers. The fall mums are in. Discount Tuesdays are back with 10% off all apple purchases. Oakwood Fruit Farm, south of Ithaca, on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs and like them on Facebook.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for...
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joining us for a sixth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author. He's covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel, again brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm. Good morning, Chris. How are you on this Monday?
Hey, Maddie, I'm doing well, thanks. I got to say, the sun came up this morning. Now, in all fairness, full disclosure, I'm not in Green Bay. I'm in Adams Friendship, so I'm not sure what's going on in Green Bay. But here, at least the sun came up. I'm guessing Baraboo, too.
Yes, it's going to be a beautiful day, in fact, for most of the area. Now, it's actually a beautiful day if you're a Packers fan, because even though they were the only team in the NFC North not to win a game over the weekend, the fact that Jordan Love is not lost for the season, I feel like is a good thing to celebrate.
Oh, it for sure. You know, I mean, yeah. Packer fans obviously went into that game, you know, two thumbs up, and then all of a sudden it became fingers crossed.
Right.
And now it's like, okay, 3 to 6 weeks, it could be a lot worse. And they're saying on the early end of the timetable, the 3 to 6 weeks. But I'm trying to not just be positive, but be realistic about the thing.
Yeah.
Maddie, let's find out how good the rest of the team is.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen this Super Bowl team that's had one really good player and the rest were less
than. Right. And let's be honest. I mean, let's first of all, Jordan Love suffered an MCL, a sprain, which is the good news. Grade maybe one or two. Right kind of in between there is what reports are. They have said, and we found out yesterday, if you were watching any of the pregame from the NFL, that Malik Willis will get the start, which is basically what I think Goody went out and why he got him. That's what he intended. Now, did he intend for it to be week two? Probably. Probably not, but it was an insurance policy. I know there's a lot of people who are a little skeptical about this. You know, is Malik Willis going to be the answer? Will he get it done? Will he be able to win enough games to keep the Packers in this before Jordan Love actually comes back and is healthy? Those are going to be some big questions. Now, Max texted me yesterday and he's like, the only thing that scares me is the Titans thought Malik Willis was bad enough to trade and they kept Will Levis. I was like, well, yeah. I said, maybe they just didn't know what to do with Malik Willis. And he's like, boy, I sure hope so. But, you know, the one thing that I will say, and I'm going to try to be positive about the whole thing, is before Matt LaFleur came to Green Bay, he was the offensive coordinator for Tennessee, right? Mm-hmm. And he worked very long and hard with a quarterback by the name of Marcus Mariota, who has a lot of the same tangibles as Malik Willis. Now, my Mac says that between that and maybe, you know, getting Tom Clements, 74-year-old Tom Clements, his vitamins this week, maybe his favorite drink and a whole lot of coffee, Max is like, maybe an easy game plan will be just what the doctor ordered. He's like, let's hope, because that's all we got right now going in. So I'm sure there'll be a lot to watch as the week progresses, at any rate, as to what they're going to do. Do you think at some point, if Malik Willis just is not the answer, do you think they roll with Sean Clifford, or do you think they bring in potentially Ryan Tannehill as a for instance, a name that's been thrown around a lot? Is that something they would do? Do you think?
I would think that Ryan Tannehill in a disaster situation would be emergency break glass kind of thing, but right now, you've got to deal with the hand you dealt yourself in many ways, and you brought in Malik Willis for this reason, and I think it would be disingenuous on the Packers' part to look elsewhere immediately, and I think it would be a bad, bad message to the locker room.
Yes.
You bring in a guy, people are trying to get used to him and understand him, and we're getting his head in the playbook, and then we're not, because actually the whole reason we were doing that is in case Love got injured. Love gets injured, now we got no use for you. No. I think all this stuff's premature. I mean, you got to look at the real world and where we're at. Mm-hmm. The fact is, 3-4 weeks, like I said coming in, Maddie, you better be able to stay the course.
Yeah.
Because this could be 3 or 4 weeks in November or December where a lot of your fortunes have been determined. But my sense is, with this young team, they're going to rally together. They're going to rally around Love and because of Jordan Love. And that might sound like all lip service, but I think there's a lot of truth
to that.
They're a close-knit
team.
Yes, absolutely, and they really like the guy. But on top of that, they really like having a great career.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
Yeah,
I think this is for me. If I'm a receiver, the heck with just the backup quarterback. If I'm a running back in that run game, the old line, I'm on point. If I'm worth a darn, I am on point this week. It's not about can we get Malik up to speed and make him good enough. It's
how
about
we
all
got to
be, because I guess, you know what, Maddie, with what I saw this first opening weekend and a lot of unknowns and surprises as usual, but some things never change, like Bears special teams and defense. Some things never change, like Vikings, count them out. Giants are going to be great, media. And then you see what you saw yesterday. And then last night, two quarterbacks, one used to be, the other used to be, switch teams, switch cities, and have a great game. But nothing was easy. And that was down to the final second. So you look at the score if you didn't see the game, and you say, oh, yeah, the Lions, they pretty much handled them. Oh, contraire.
No, they did not. No.
So I think this is a chance for the rest of the Packers to show what they're made of.
It was a typical first week in the NFL. You had some teams that went out there and absolutely dominated. I'm thinking of the Dallas Cowboys. We've seen them do this time and time again. Will it be different this year with Dak under his new contract? Mike Zimmer is the defensive coordinator. We've seen them go out there and just roll teams and then the next week barely be able to score points. So we'll see how the Cowboys do. I mean, it's week one. If you're jumping to any conclusions right now, you're completely misguided, because it's way too early to jump to any conclusions about any team. For goodness sakes, everybody wanted to anoint the Minnesota Vikings yesterday as the team to beat. Are you kidding? They played the Giants. If you couldn't see what the Giants were going to be coming into this season, that is a completely mismanaged team. I actually feel sorry for the players on the Giants team at this point in time, because no Saquon Barkley this year. Now you're rolling with Daniel Jones, which was a really stupid contract to sign if you're the owners and the management of the New York Giants. I mean, it's just just completely misguided team. And so you got to just kind of be realistic, I think, for at least for the next maybe 4 weeks or so. Then you start seeing patterns emerge. But then at that point, then you start seeing injuries, and then teams change and dynamics change again. And it's always in flux because it's the NFL.
I would say this too, just a takeaway from yesterday's games. I couldn't be happier for Dak Prescott, because after getting jerked around by Jerry Jones,
yes,
and then you finally get paid, and then you go, here, Mr. Genius Owner.
Yep.
So I like that. And the other thing, if you have conclusions before week one, I guess they aren't jumping to conclusions. Deshaun Watson's awful.
Oh.
By all accounts, he's a despicable human being, and by all accounts, he got over. You talk about bad contracts. His compared to Daniel Jones seems like a bargain.
If they cut him today, I am pretty sure after yesterday he would never play another snap in the NFL unless he was a backup and they absolutely got desperate, because that was – and you can tell me about their O-line. You can tell me this. You can tell me that. They've had better play from backups, and they put up the graphic in the middle of the game to show me so. So that tells you everything you need to know about Deshaun Watson. And I was miffed when they decided they were only going to suspend him for a year after everything that had happened with him. But, you know, here we are. It's the NFL. And Finn and I just had a conversation a few moments ago. They're always going to put the money and the audience above probably players or what's best. You know, it's an entertainment league. And here we are, you know, trying to talk about
it. Yeah, I have one modest request,
through.
Too. And I know I'm not the only person to say this. For overseas games, you know what? You want to export your brand. Bring the field with you.
A field that's good, so they're not.
You know, Jordan Love had problems, and anybody who's had a hard time getting traction, his calf muscles tightening up and all of that. It wasn't just cramps, but the other guys did have that. But when you have a surface and you try to run on it, it's like running on sand in the beach. You know, and no good things are going to come of it. And I just thought Love never looked comfortable on the field.
No.
He really never looked comfortable all night.
He had happy feet the entire game. His feet were dancing all game,
And the problem is, for when he throws, he needs – the beauty of Jordan Love and his accuracy is that he's got that base, and it's a strong base. He uses his legs. He gets them into the throw. It's not all arm. And he resets and all of that. On that surface, he couldn't. He couldn't do much of any of that.
But
and it was much more conducive for Jalen Hurts' game than it was for Jordan Love's. And if people say, oh, same field, don't give me that. It's not. It's not anywhere near any same field you see in the NFL.
Different players. It was not the same field. But Roger Goodell thought it went really well and that the field was not that big of an issue, just in case anybody's wondering.
Well, yeah, he probably doesn't have money on the Packers to win the Super Bowl, so what does he care?
Right? You know, and let's talk a little bit about the game. I mean, the Packers, for what it's worth, did not come out as fast and furious as I think we had been told they were going to. There were a lot of self-inflicted wounds again. There was a lot of penalties, ugly, ugly, stupid penalties, especially on the offensive line. There was a lack of red zone production again. They kind of went dormant again in the third quarter, which is a problem we saw last year. They just a lot of missed opportunities, from the fact that they would get into the red zone and they commit these penalties, or you know, you have the kick that was missed, or the refs thinking that everybody was there to watch them for the first couple weeks of the season and not actually a game. I mean, there was just a lot of things that went really, really wrong. And obviously, these were some of the same issues that carried over from the start of last year. Throughout the preseason, you know, Matt LaFleur, oh no, we're going to start fast. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. The players had been talking about the same thing. Kind of felt like the same start as last year.
You know, Maddie, it actually to me felt more like the same ending of last year.
Okay.
The missed field goal against the Niners. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember the Niners game. Was it not the big difference between Cowboys and Niners? Niners game, Packers, did they not have early opportunities to take command of that thing?
Yes, absolutely.
To go up 10, to go up 14, to do whatever they needed to do to knock out the Niners last January. And, and those things didn't happen. And you know, part of the problem there, and it was the same Friday night, right away you're presented with a gift opportunity. The Detroit game on Thanksgiving, the Dallas game, they jumped on those. And they seemed almost ready for their defense to put him in his position. And Matt LaFleur did Jeff Hafley a disservice. You get two turnovers in the red zone in the first quarter on two of the three first drives, and you come away with 6 points.
It was a very vanilla game as far as the game plan goes. Now, was that the surface? I don't know. We'll never know the answer to that. But to me, the play calling was very vanilla. It was very boring. I know Josh Jacobs can do more than run from shotgun. I know more than that can happen. I was actually very pleased. I will say this. Josh Jacobs, I was not disappointed. I know at the beginning of the game, it looked awful. I think he really brought it on and really turned it on at the end of the game. Much more of the Josh Jacobs, I think, that we're used to. But I think he's still getting comfortable as well. And let's be realistic. Most of these Packers starters did not play any snaps or very limited snaps in the preseason, and it looked like it yesterday or on Friday night.
Well, you know, Maddie, two things there real quickly. The magnification of not being ready to attack in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm putting my game plan together for red zone, I don't care if it's our second drive of the game, the last drive of the game. You've got what you think works best in that situation in the red zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, LaFleur, when you don't play that much in the preseason, the one downside, you don't have time always to ease into the game and to get your feet wet and to get as bad as the field is. It's time. It's go time. You kick off.
Yeah.
It's on.
Right.
And that happened in the Niners game. It happened, I think, again. Early in the game, the feeling out, be damned, get in the end zone.
Right.
As Josh Jacobs, the second half was totally different than the first. And as he said, they changed the blocking scheme at halftime.
Well, thank
and they
God.
Went to more of a wide zone blocking scheme, outside blocking scheme. And you know what? It worked, and it suited him. Now, they did make the adjustment. I give him credit, and he did run like crazy, 32-yarder and all of that in the second half. So that part of it, even, I'm not upset with. And I don't think Josh Jacobs is the reason they lost the game.
No. They lost the game. It was just a bad team effort because you have a lot of superstars on that team right now that are getting paid that didn't play like superstars. They were dormant as well. I mean, Jordan Love, we've talked a little bit about the field issues with him. He was not on par. Jair Alexander, that was one of the worst games I've ever seen Jair Alexander play ever in my life. He had the one interception, and after that, he was pretty much in the dust all night long.
Well, I thought Clark, on defense, they looked a little tired.
They looked tired. They looked like they weren't conditioned yet. Kenny Clark, we didn't really hear his name all that much. Here's what I will say after watching back some of the game, though. Edgerrin Cooper, they got to get him more into the playbook. Dude's got speed. Quay Walker's
going to
be. He's a stud. And Quay Walker is going to be a special teamer by the end of the year. It's just kind of how it is. Quay Walker has had.
That's a harsh assessment. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Quay Walker has had, 3 years now to understand the defense. I get this year it's a new defensive coordinator. He has never looked like he knows what he's doing, even his second year under Joe Barry. And Jeff Hafley is supposed to be, I don't want to say the defense whisperer, but he's supposed to be one of those guys whose defenses is easy for everybody to understand, learn, and know their place. That's what we've been told, right?
Mm-hmm.
Quay Walker still has no idea what he's doing.
Maddie, I'm going to give you one green dot for the helmet, and you can put it on anybody's helmet on defense. How far do you get deep into the roster before you hit Quay Walker's helmet?
I get
The guy that doesn't know what's going on the least is the one that's just figuring it out pre-snap.
Right?
I understand you might defer if you're Hafley to Walker's talent and maybe his personality and maybe – because at first I thought, you know, maybe this is the kind of guy who you give him the reins and let him go with it because that's his – well, it turns out he's a supplementary player, let's put it that way.
He'll
jump on the bandwagon and his talent – I mean – give somebody else the green dot. Let someone else run the show until Quay Walker, and probably Edgerrin Cooper at this stage.
Yes.
Because I think he had a better feel for what was going on in one game than Walker, in three quarters than Walker did in 3 years. So they need to make a change there.
If Jeff Hafley is true to his word, because he one of the first things we heard at his very first press conference after being named as the D coordinator, he does not put years of experience over talent. And so if he is true to his word and Matt LaFleur is going to honestly allow him to make those changes on defense, because we know Matt LaFleur is a little hesitant about that. He likes a little seniority versus maybe the guy who's showing the most spurts and the most talent right now. If Matt LaFleur is true to his word and so is Hafley, then I think that change comes sooner than later.
LaFleur owes it to Hafley after one game. I mean, it was all, I get to run the offense now. I don't have to babysit Joe Barry anymore. And the last thing we need now is, I think, LaFleur. He shouldn't have to tell Hafley to do his business and who to have the green dot. And I think the concern is, it's like you with your employees. I mean, you know, either they figure it out fairly quickly or they don't. And if you ride with them, then who's it on after a while? It's on you.
Yeah. I mean, those mistakes then land on you. You can't blame it on them anymore. I will say this, though. The defensive structure is a whole lot better. So my thinking here, and I'll see if you agree, is that if Jordan Love can get back sooner than later, and they can even win a couple of games, right? Even if they're close ones, I feel like this team defensively is going to be okay. And even if I feel like Jordan Love being out might actually help the defense, because I mean, right now, if you're Jeff Hafley, you are preaching that this is on us now. We have to hold up our end of the bargain because offense is going to need us. That should be the rally cry for the defense this week. I mean, it should be, I would think. And I'm kind of guessing that that's what they go with, but we'll see. But to me, that feels like that should be the rally cry going at least over the next few weeks until Jordan Love comes back. Like, let's win this for our offense. We'll see. I mean, it worked for the Bears yesterday.
I'm agreeing with you totally on that. You know, this is a time for the defense to, you know, preseason's over. You need to get after it and figure some things out, especially right now, because you've got a couple of games that are not going to be easy. Suddenly, none of them are. But and they aren't anyway, even with Jordan Love. But but you've got an opportunity at home to get one for sure. Mm-hmm. And then you're 1-1 after 2 weeks, and all right, now we kind of reset and we see where Jordan is further along in this and how Willis is coming along.
Yep.
I mean, I'm curious as I was before, just kind of in a different way now.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when it comes to the Packers defense, as long as we're talking about them, and we'll switch to the offense here really quickly. The Eagles, for all it's worth, and no matter how bad it felt at times, I think they were getting gassed, especially in the third quarter when the offense couldn't stay on the field. But the Eagles basically had 5.5 yards per play on Friday night. If you look back to last year, that would have actually put them 10th in the league as far as plays. Philly's a really good offense. They've been talked about as probably the number one overall offense most likely this year. And they have been over the last few years. Last year was kind of a weird anomaly, especially late in the season for them. So these final numbers are going to look worse than it was actually play by play, I think. But they averaged just under 4 yards per carry on the ground. They forced 2 turnovers. Third one was kind of luck. They limited Hurts' ability to scramble, and they really limited the run game. I mean, they got some chunk yardage out of it, but it was nothing crazy or like we've seen the Eagles do in the past. But they had some of those back-breaking drives that were then, you know, negated by either their own errors or by phantom penalties because the refs decided that the show was about them on Friday night a few times too. So, I mean, overall, there's some positives to glean out of the defensive performance, no matter what you're thinking.
I did want to mention with the D, I thought they were really disciplined in their pass rush, and like you said, containing Jalen Hurts for the most part, and that was good to see.
Sometimes it felt like they concentrated on that so much, other parts though waned a little bit, right? Like,
they did, but I think too, Matt LaFleur or Jeff Hafley or both, you've got to see what the game is, what it is, and the field. You can dismiss it, you can act like, how do you generate a pass rush when you can't get any traction?
Right.
The first thing that's gone is a pass rush. That's why they say when it's a snowy, icy game, how do you get a pass rush? Well, you don't. But you know what the Eagles did? They dropped more people in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically said, yeah, we'll get there if we get there, but we're going to make it hard for Love to find anybody open.
Yep.
And by the time he does on this, where is he going to run to? And here we go, where the Packers. And the other difference, I think, from Joe Barry and what they did better this time around. Okay, Saquon Barkley got some big runs. You mentioned it already, and it's a fact. He did. But it's either we're really – and I would expect – I said before the game, the Eagles are going to hit big plays. I didn't quite expect that many by those men, but they did.
Right.
But the difference is it wasn't death by 10 yards at a crack.
No.
To your point about the 5.5, it wasn't that where can they just ever get it right? It's a little of this. In this case, the mistakes were big. And the Eagles capitalized, and that's what good teams do. But for the most part, to your point, the snaps that they had to play in the whole thing, you know what, the defense, tired as it was, I thought all in all played pretty well. And
I thought they held
up. You mentioned the Giants, how bad they are. Well, there's a reason Barkley was there and McKinney was playing Friday night too, because I think Xavier McKinney and Javon Bullard, by the way, and Bullard, just like Cooper, how long does it take you to see the speed? I'm sure Max is like,